This episode of TechPod is brought to you by THWACK, the SolarWinds community with more than 150,000 members. The THWACK site has product forums, event listings, monthly missions, contests, and much, much more. There's even a content exchange where members can share custom queries, scripts, templates, and reports with each other. To learn more, visit thwack.solarwinds.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of SolarWinds Tech Pod. I am with my fellow host, as always, Sean Sebring.
Hey, Ashley. I'm thwacky. I'm happy to be here.
Today, we are celebrating all things THWACK. The SolarWinds online community is celebrating 20 years, and we are lucky enough to be joined by some former THWACK MVPs who are now esteemed SolarWinds employees and colleagues. I am pleased to welcome Kevin Spierenberg and Michael Kent. Michael, would you like to introduce yourself for us here?
Hi, Ashley. Hi, Sean. I'm 5 months into SolarWinds, but been a SolarWinds THWACK member since 2006 and an MVP since 2017 until I stopped being MVP when I joined SolarWinds.
Excellent. And many of you are probably familiar with Kevin, but why don't you give us an intro?
I feel like this is unnecessary, but I'll do it anyway. So I am former customer, former THWACK MVP, former product manager, product marketing manager, and proud Solarian, and now a part of our community team here on THWACK. I joined THWACK in 2012, I believe. So this year will mark my 11th THWACKiversary in December, and I was an MVP in 2014, I believe. And then got the fortunate or unfortunate call for our listeners that would you like to come on to work for SolarWinds? And I said, yeah, let's do that. So I now work on the community pretty much full time. I am the one person, well, me and a very small team, to be honest. We are the people who actually get paid every day to spend all of our day on THWACK, which is amazing.
So you brought up THWACK a few times, and we've discussed this in the past, but just in case for our listeners, since we're at the start of the call, what is THWACK?
Well, I feel like this is a me question, so I'm just going to head and take it. So THWACK is, if we want the short version of this, THWACK is an online community created by SolarWinds to help our customers help themselves. This originally started 20 years ago now, and it's when SolarWinds was a very small company. I know everyone thinks SolarWinds is this, you know, megalithic, humongous organization that's global. No, it started as a very small mom-and-pop style software company in the central U.S., and there were 30, 40 employees, and when we started selling software, it was really hard to handle all the support questions. And THWACK started initially as essentially a support forum. It was a place people could go in and then people could answer questions instead of sitting on hold all the time waiting for someone to pick up the phone. And, you know, that it works, right? But it kept growing and it turned into places where people would ask questions that weren't necessarily about our software. They would ask a question about how to configure an access control list on a PIX 525 or how to set up router on a stick to learn stuff in a lab or how to get, you know, the proper server settings to do X, Y, or Z. And it's just kept growing. We realized well before my time, but SolarWinds realized that it made more sense to let this be a proper IT community where people can ask questions and help each other out, not necessarily pushing product. Our products will help you solve these problems, but in the event that you just have this problem, how would you solve it? And that's what it has evolved to today, 20 years later, where it's just a place to discuss technology. It's a place where we have fun every month and we goof off. And honestly, the conversations are some of the funniest and most heartwarming I've seen in my career in IT, which is a really big help, especially for us who have spent a lot of time working in the dredges of the horrible parts of IT. Actually being able to have a place where you have a little bit of an outlet and you're surrounded by like-minded people is an absolute blessing.
So would it be fair to say, because I feel like when I first joined that I thought of Reddit, like kind of a Reddit. THWACK is a SolarWinds Reddit feed almost, right?
It's not a bad analogy. Funny part is we do have a Reddit. And when you go there, people will try to answer questions. And normally the second response is, hey, OP, you probably should ask this question on Thwack. Because let's be serious, we have, making up numbers, 2,500, 3,000 Solarians around the world. We've got 195,000 active members. There is zero way we are going to be available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to answer questions. But somebody somewhere on this planet, or maybe off planet, I don't know what your life is, who's on Thwack, who could probably answer this question, or at least not, if not give you like the concrete answer, give you that aha idea to take your troubleshooting or your monitoring or your observability platform or whatever to that next step.
I have a new goal. I want to respond to a Thwack post from space now. Thank you, Kevin.
Hey, as long as your latency is low, and you know what? You can monitor that with SolarWinds Solutions. You'll be fine. Actually, I think there was a story about that where we actually used the software. I don't know if it's anecdotal or a true story that we actually used it to watch latency to the ISS.
Does anyone know where the name Thwack came from, where that got started?
Actually, I know where it came from, and I know who came up with it.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right, so there is a frequent Boomerang employee, a guy by the name of Denny LeCompte. If you're not familiar with Denny, Denny has been at SolarWinds and then startups and then back at SolarWinds and other tech stuff and then SolarWinds. He's basically one of those guys we bring in not to fix problems, but he's like an idea hamster. Basically, you give him a wheel and you put him on the wheel and just all of a sudden stuff starts coming out. He came up with this idea because in those days, we were very much buying into this like comic book feel of iconography for the community. You know, the company itself was, you know, proper and professional, but the community was fun and lighthearted. And we kind of leaned into this comic book, a superhero kind of idea. And they came up with this idea where they had to have a quote, and I'm not joking, punchy name for the online community. And everybody went back to Batman 66, the old Batman TV show where every time, you know, a fist would hit a face, it would be like wham, bam. And then all of a sudden one of them was Thwack. And we said, yeah, sure, we'll go with that. And I'm fairly sure this is completely fabricated in my mind, is that after we came up with the name, then we had to come up with the acronym for it, which I'm not going to tell here because it'll spoil part of the special mission we have going on Thwack right now. So,
oh, very cool.
Yeah.
As a big Batman fan, I love this. I feel like I should have known where it came from, but that is fantastic to learn.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a backhand to me, right? The Thwack has got to be like a backhand.
It could have also been a broom hitting a vase. It doesn't really matter.
I'm sure somewhere one of the early bits of swag I've got, I'm sure I had an inflatable Thwack hammer, a giant inflatable Thwack hammer. Have I misremembered that, Kevin?
No, you have not. You have not misremembered that. And if I can take a small aside, the Thwack hammer has a very interesting story. When it's inflatable, and I'm showing people, you can't see this, it's about 2 feet, about, I don't know, whatever that is, 40 centimeter. And you inflate it, and when you hit it on things, it would go squeak. Like,
yeah, it definitely had one.
It was hilarious. And someone complained to us once, this is 7-8 years ago, complained to us once that they bought the Thwack hammer from the Thwack store and expected an actual hammer.
Oh, no.
And we have a picture. It was very obviously balloon shaped, but sure, why not?
We do not condone violence of any type here at SolarWinds.
No, but you know, that's why we chose a hammer, because it's constructive as opposed to an axe.
That's right. So, Michael, in talking to you before this episode, you had mentioned that becoming an MVP was something that you wanted to tick off your life bucket list. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It's almost that. Becoming an MVP enabled me to tick something off my bucket list. So growing up in the UK, small family in social housing, you know, going to the States was a bit of a dream, really. Hugely into American sports. So not long after being made an MVP, Thwack Camp was coming up, and it got the MVPs got reached out to, hey, how would you guys feel about being flown over to Austin to the office while Thwack Camp is going ahead. So for those that don't know, Thwack Camp, an online event, happens every year. So they were like, hey, do you want to fly over? We'll pay. So wow, you know, absolute dream. So Danielle was here at the time. I was like, right, how do we do these expenses? Yep, that's all good. I said, do you mind, you know, which way I fly, which way I fly back? You know, in our infinite wisdom, we'd timed Thwack Camp with the Austin Grand Prix. So flights from the UK, you just couldn't get one. So it was going to be stop over on the way and stop over on the way back. So on the way back, I was able to fly to Seattle. Being a massive Seahawks fan and, you know, started out as a Sonics fan, I was able to come back via Seattle. So in those 24 hours in Seattle, I did every touristy thing you could think possible. You know, my itinerary, I literally ticked everything on my bucket list, but I was literally flying into Seattle, because you fly in over the Seahawks stadium, and I just burst into tears. I was like, oh my God, I've done it. And, you know, that was a dream from being a teenager. And when an organization enables you to do that, it sticks. So, you know, that's if I wasn't hooked when I became an MVP, you know, following that was it. It was always inevitable. So
sorry, or
no. It's you know, I've said a few times where this is a new role that I do within SolarWinds. I'm a field-based solutions architect in the UK. And I've been using the software for, you know, 15-ish years. I keep saying 15 years. It's keeps on being a bit longer than 15 years.
Yeah, but when you say 20, that's like a life commitment.
Yeah.
So you never.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Never want to say 20. But SolarWinds, this role came up. I chatted with Kevin about it, and he was like, "This role is made for you." So it took 15 years, but we reached that point where SolarWinds was ready for me. I was ready for SolarWinds, and I joined a role doing what I love to do every day.
Yeah, one of the things I liked that you mentioned on it, you know, it is community. You mentioned, you know, being where you're from, it's smaller, and of course, you know, coming over to the stateside, things are bigger here. But what's also huge, and Kevin mentioned this too, is the community. I love how, you know, how much it impacted you individually, but something I think that we really need to just truly appreciate is the size of that community, right? The wealth of people, the wealth of different cultures, right? You're across the pond from us, so there's so much there in that community. You know, beyond just the tools and stuff, what else could you say the community means to you, right? Have you made friends there? Have you, you know, give us a little bit of that, because I mean, you know, you're coming in new as part of SolarWinds now, but you've been in the community for quite some time.
Yeah, so the community's kind of given me two things, and the becoming an MVP even more so. We have a kind of separate Slack for all the MVPs, and the MVPs are located around the world, and you know, as is Slack. So it doesn't matter what time of day you put a question up, someone's online to be able to respond to it, and you know. Being lifelong operational IT, quite often that's 10 p.m. at night, 1 a.m. in the morning, you know, asking these questions, especially in the early days, because the information wasn't out there. So if it was a technical problem, it wasn't necessarily about something within you know, monitoring. You know, it might just be, hey, how do I do this on my Cisco firewall? And you could get a response really, really quickly. And so for me, you know, becoming an MVP, especially following coming out there with Austin, that MVP community is absolutely fantastic. We've got people in Australia, you know, right the way, 24/7, there'll be someone online.
I really follow this
community. And yeah, absolutely. And these are the most passionate users that we've got. You know, they live and breathe this stuff. So, you know, having come from there, often we can be a little critical, but that's because we're so passionate about it. But being passionate about the software and wanting to make it better, that's how I became an MVP in the first place. It was the request came up on Thwack from the UX team. Hey, we're looking for people that use this other solution. You know, why can't you use SAM, for example, for your monitoring? And so it was literally doing a demo to the UX team of our other solution and how we used it and getting involved with that, with the team inside SolarWinds. So it was great because we got that inside view. We chatted to PMs, we chatted to UX. You know, we were absolutely kind of embedded in. I mean, one of the things that I joke about when I joined SolarWinds, I had about 40 people to message once I joined saying, hey, I've joined, you know, in the internal team. So I knew that many people from just having interacted over the years.
And then I have another question for you on this real quick, because I think it's important to note this. What you just ended on was a lot about SolarWinds and SolarWinds products, but something you'd said midway through there, and I think this is definitely worth noting, is that it's an IT community, not just a SolarWinds customer community. And the way you were talking about almost being on call as part of this, just because you're passionate about supporting others, not just the products themselves, but right, as an IT community, someone just has a question, how do I do this? Right. And so it is its own community of people trying to help each other, IT professionals trying to help each other. It's not exclusive to just SolarWinds products, right? SolarWinds happens to facilitate it, but.
Yeah, I think I just did a presentation at the London SWUG, and it was, you know, along these lines, how Thwack changed my life. And I changed usernames midway through. So we found my earliest post of my current username, and it was, you know, I was on there answering someone's question around configuring RAID arrays and which RAID type was best. You know, you remember when time when people bought servers?
And they bought spinning disks.
Yeah, you know, and it was, hey, which RAID array should I try? And I was like, well, it's this or it's this. These are the benefits of this. But here's the link to the RAID configurator I use online to help me remember, you know, this gives me this much resiliency, redundancy. This will be faster. This will be slower. And, you know, that was, I mean, that was, yeah, 2015 account. And I asked a question and I had a response within half an hour. Someone had replied and said, hey, you know this. I mean, that's crazy. It was absolutely fantastic. And yeah, it gets in your bones. I know people from all across the world because of that community.
Well, I think something that we touched on in a previous episode and talking to Blythe Morrow about database is just how the mental health effects of IT sometimes. This is a topic that we like to raise more awareness about. It can be very isolating in moments, especially if you are in one of those support functions where you're working the midnight hours and you hear a zombie during the day. You know, having that sense of community around you and understanding what makes other people's jobs harder, being able to lean on each other, maybe vent to each other in some ways. If either of you would like to expand on kind of how that is a mental support system and as well as just a technical support system.
Michael, I'm going to start on this one because I've got some anecdotal evidence from my history. So my very brief history, I started on the help desk, then went to network engineering, and then up and beyond. On a help desk in large organizations always follow the sun. They're 24/7, 365, first, second, third shift, graveyard shift, if you want to call it that, what have you. I was second shift supervisor, but I was also the most technical savvy of everyone. Because I just had previous experience elsewhere that brought this up. What that unfortunately meant is I was also the single point of failure. So when someone had a question about Outlook, meaning Exchange, or Blackberries, that's how old this is, or stuff like how Citrix works, or how this particular client, or how this thing, or how that thing worked, then it was great because I was able to give this knowledge out, but it was also complete burnout. So much to the point where I got called 3 Christmases in a row while like sitting down with my family for dinner. And I cannot find the post. I'm sure it exists. I went on a slight venting spree on Thwack about the pains of on-call and having your help desk people not follow their scripts and why can't they do this? And I probably deleted it, to be honest, because I'm fairly sure my boss found it and did not like the fact that I was kind of ranting about how the other people in my organization were not doing their job. But there is just knowing other people are experiencing, even if not the same, but something similar. And being able, especially for young IT professionals who are, you know, they've engaged their ADHD to the highest level and they are 100% on board. I'm willing to work every hour of every day. 5 o'clock is a joke. No one stops at five. And, you know, they're willing to put in all those extra hours. That's great. But by the time you know, if that's when you're 25, by the time you hit 30, you know, you're walking around like an old man with a cane because you're just exhausted. Even if it's not physically, it's mentally exhausting to run on a level like that. And that's something where a community of other people that do similar roles can kind of come around you. You are not alone. I spoke recently about still having to this day imposter syndrome whenever I stand up in front of people. There is a lot of fear for me personally, and I can't speak to anyone else, that when I speak in front of people, I have the same kind of things that go through my head. Why am I considered an authority on this? What happens if someone calls me out? Am I being a fraud? I'm just telling you what my opinion is, but I'm giving it like it's gospel. What is all of it? And that's something that IT professionals have to deal with all the time, because if we look at the history of IT, it has been isolating. It's not intentional, but people specialize. You know, there's that group that is the specialists for networking. There is that group that is the specialist for servers. There is that group that's the specialist for virtualization or storage or database or service desk or any of these things. And they, no fault of their own, they get siloed into this. And at some point, you just want to rage against the machine and scream about it, because the people on the other side of that silo wall have no idea what you're talking about, but it makes perfect sense. That's where this idea of community, where we don't have these walls, kind of really comes in. Everybody is, even if you're not responsible for everyone else's stuff, because you shouldn't be, you're still, you know, empathetic to them. You still have an understanding. You're willing to walk maybe not 10 miles, maybe a mile in their shoes to understand what they're going through.
I absolutely love that. And I think something that you touched on reminded me, the imposter syndrome thing. With social media forums, having a little bit of anonymity can be a good and a bad thing. You know, we've seen where it allows people to spread vitriol that's maybe not as positive, but we keep the THWACK community an extremely uplifting, positive space. And what's kind of cool about it is that, you know, there's people from all across the world, all kinds of racial backgrounds, men, women, sexual orientations, economic backgrounds, different levels in their career, from fresh outs to VP and director level people. And it kind of like sets that playing field for everybody to talk in an open way and share, which is a really beautiful thing.
Yeah. And it's something that it's not wholly unique to THWACK. I don't want to give that misrepresentation. It's not wholly unique, but it is a place where we seem to have collected a large amount, and maybe it's me, maybe I've got rose-colored glasses, but it seems we're very, very troll-light. It seems there are very few people, they abide by our, you know, terms of service and our standards. It's just something that, you know, if we see someone that's a little trolly, we'll kind of call them out, be like, come on, seriously? And then they'll acquiesce, and if not, well, eventually something like that gets banned because it's violation. But we have to do that so incredibly rarely. I think 3 times in 8 years that I've been working with it. So yeah, unless there is someone who is, you know, for one reason or another being an absolute a-hole, there is very little chance you're going to run into a problem, because everyone there is there for the same thing. They want to do their jobs better, and they want to help other people do their jobs better.
Yeah, Kevin, you've said a few things that resonate with me as a former IT operations guy. And, you know, being part of the community, sometimes I just feel like being a hero and I'm sick of answering the questions at my job. So let me answer someone else's question. Also, just like innately as being an ops person, I'm kind of addicted to problem solving. So even if it has nothing to do with me and I don't know the answer yet, I want to find it too. Not for you, but for me. And yeah, I'll tell you when I find it. But it's, you know, part of that is, you know, as problem solvers, we're addicted to solving the problems. Sometimes it's fun to just go and hammer out tons of questions for someone else that you know. the answer to. And it's satisfying when it's not your problem in the first place.
And also, something you touched on, maybe avoiding your particular problem for a couple of minutes to give yourself that little mental break.
Yep.
All right. We are going to pick this conversation up after a quick break.
Join the THWACK community in real life at a 100% in-person event in Charlotte, North Carolina. The SolarWinds user group will be traveling on August 8th, 9th, so sign up now to get in early on all of the reservations. We even have a special hotel deal for you if you want to stay for both days. All the information can be found at swug.solarwinds.com/charlotte-2023 or thwack.com/swug.
Welcome back, everyone, from the break. Very happy to continue this conversation on all things THWACK and the 20th anniversary. I would love to jump into maybe a little bit more on the technical side, the practicality of how IT users actually use the tool. So if there's an anecdote somebody wants to share or, you know, just ways that you've actually technically solved problems with THWACK.
Well, I can speak for me that it introduced me probably to everyone who is on THWACK's detriment to how powerful scripting is in a production environment. I went back and found, no lie, my very first THWACK post many, many, many years ago. And it was something written, don't hate me for this, in VBScript, because that was still a thing then. And, that led me to further and further things. And for me, I think the best thing about THWACK is the 80-20. And what I mean by that is you're 80% sure you got something, but you haven't gotten it to exactly where you want. And that last 20% is the sticking for you. You're like, I've got the output like this, but I need it to look like that. You know, I'm getting the data, but this thing isn't doing this. Or I've got this alert and it's doing this thing, but it's not doing this other part I really want. So you got like the foundation, but you just have to pretty it up. I've helped people do this with alerts, making alerts look pretty with HTML and CSS. I've done it with a bunch of scripting stuff. Now we've got the modern dashboards. These are things that, you know, I've got the data, it's raw, and myself, speaking from my very personal experiences, I can read raw data and be like, oh, I see the trends that are happening here. My management has never appreciated me giving them a big Excel file full of raw numbers. They wanted in a prettier version. So that for me, that 20% was always, hey, I've got this raw data. I need a way to present it to somebody else so they can see it and be like, got it. I understand what you're talking about there. So for me, a lot of the THWACK stuff is that kind of 80-20. And I spent my days trolling the same like three or four forums when I was a customer. For me, it was in the old legacy Orion module days. So I would spend days on NPM and SAM and NTA. And that was a majority of my time. And then obviously crawling through the content exchange looking for reports that I didn't have to build myself. So I could just basically download and import them and not be, you know, spending the time working on those.
I think for me, it was having done this three times, it's joining an organization. You join this organization and hey, turns out their monitoring isn't very good. So you say, get this SolarWinds Orion product, let's have some modules. And then for me, it was starting on the network side. So everything NCM, config backups, you know, just getting that baseline. So getting help from the forum around, how do I get it to do this? Real-time change detection, a critical feature within NCM, then just get into that point of seeing what's going on the network. And I think, you know, again, at the time, Content Exchange, as Kevin mentioned, you know, pulling in compliance reports, doing all of those things. And then that led me in a similar way to, okay, how can we leverage some of the more complex tools? You know, can we now get Orion to do the config changes on the switches, on the edge routers? You know, I was presenting at an event, and one of my anecdotes is giving the overnight NOC a tool so that they could block specific IPs, because we were working for an ISP, and you know, black holing these specific IPs. That was where I learned the importance of you know, validating input. Don't just assume they know what they're doing.
Don't assume all IPs are created the same or formatted correctly.
Yeah. So it wasn't that. It was when they blocked /2 rather than /32 and blocked a quarter of the internet. That wasn't such a good one. So give them the tool. But that was, you know, that did, you know, once we'd fixed that, so many, you know, 3-4 a.m. phone calls are, hey, we're getting this, you know, this IP is doing something bad, and the NOC guys could just go, hey, let's just block it for now and we'll pick it up in the morning, look at it in a bit more detail. But yeah, just assume that it's up to no good. And certainly that took, you know, the SolarWinds out of the hands of the guys looking after the network, doing the day-to-day stuff, when we could put it in the NOC, give it to the more junior staff, give them more things to do, you know, certainly enabling other parts of the business to use the tool. So that was where, you know, using some of those more advanced features, getting help on the THWACK forum, that was certainly helped us to get more from the staff, as well as you know, stopping the phone calls at 3 a.m.
Similar one, actually. One of the tools I gave over to our help desk when I moved over to network engineering. So we had third-party monitoring for unusual activity. In other words, malware, virus, that kind of stuff. Just basically trolling our security logs. And, you know, that's fine. And they would say, hey, this IP is acting funny. And I essentially wrote them a tool backed by the SolarWinds content and said, all right, the monitoring team, or the third party that's monitoring the firewall logs for suspicious activity, is only going to have the IP address. That's all they're going to have. Take that IP address, put it into this little tool, and hit go. It will give you what machine is assigned to that IP address, where it is in our infrastructure, like what floor it is, in which office, you know, those kinds of things, because we had all that stored in SNMP, thankfully. It'll tell you whether a phone is also plugged in there, and give you a button to basically what we called quarantine the VLAN, and essentially take the access VLAN, not the phone VLAN, but take, or the voice VLAN, I should say, take the access VLAN and put it up to a non-routable VLAN number. And that way that computer is essentially off net, but the phone is still on net, because we would also populate in that little tool the person's phone number. So you could call them, be like, your computer is acting bad, we've got to send someone out to look at it and run a full virus. We maybe take it off the network. So you're being blocked. Sorry, that's what's happening. And I leveraged a whole bunch of stuff. It's where I learned about, you know, the query language. I asked on THWACK. I'm like, I'm trying to pull this information from this table and this table and this table in the database and these things. And someone, and it was probably Brandon Schopp, because he was my PM for a long time, and just said, stop doing it that way. Please do it this way. And taught me about the SolarWinds query language. And then the NCM side for flipping it over, because it's really easy in the user tracker tool to literally hit a button and turn a port off. But if you turn that port off, their phone also goes dead, which means you can't contact the person to tell them what you're doing. So, you know, basically wrote my own tooling around this to give all this information to our help desk so they could be empowered to do this, and I wouldn't necessarily get calls at all hours, or to take me away from something that was ultimately not my responsibility. Because in networking, I wasn't responsible for the end user's computers. That was an entirely different team. But they would almost, before this tooling came in, they would have to contact me. I would have to shut off the VLAN manually and then go and, you know, give the ticket, the incident, back to the help desk, have them contact the local hands, and the local hands take over. And this just kind of streamlined that, took me out of it and freed up my time.
Awesome. Michael, I had a question for you. You are with us now from a community post, and that community post turned to a job opportunity. Can you tell us a little bit more about that specifically, and then introduce us to what you're doing now? And there's something specific I think you wanted to bring up about that.
So I think for me, yeah, absolutely. Engaging with that community, as I mentioned earlier, you know, engaging with that UX team. One of the skills I never really thought that I would get from being on THWACK was being able to present in public. I became an MVP. SolarWinds around 2016 introduced PerfStack, performance analysis feature, AppStack. And, you know, this was transformational for my organization, you know, seeing the infrastructure from back to front, you know, absolutely fantastic. And I was, you know, on a session with the PM for SAM at the time, and I was like, this is fantastic. It's going to transform our organization. It's, you know, brilliant. I can see everything. And he went, I've got to talk about that at this upcoming SWUG in London. How do you fancy joining me on stage and you know, talking to, you know, 200 people about this? And I went, what? You want me to do what? You know, I'm a network engineer. I want to hide in the dark and all of those things. And he was like, don't worry, you know, I've done this a lot. We'll help you through it. Lots of practice, join together, you know, and helped with it. And actually, you know, the presentation went great. Lots of fantastic feedback. Everyone really enjoyed it. It worked really well. Having a, you know, a customer up there that was using this day to day. I was a network focused guy. He was interested in the servers. You know, it went really, really well, and I actually quite enjoyed it. And then, you know, since then, it's just kind of carried on happening. But without that little, you know, nudge, because I was talking about it passionately when we were just on the call, and he was like, we can capture that. Let's capture that and go and present it. And again, we then, using that tool, it makes you look good in an organization. And I am quite privileged that I'm a techie that can talk to people. I like managing people. And that's kind of moved me through my career in terms of getting me promoted. Hey, you've sorted out the infrastructure. Great. Have the operations department become operations director. Now let's sort out the service desk, you know, and that progressed through. So I got to the point where I was, a good all round technical person that could talk to people, which, you know, fundamentally is what a solutions architect does. You know, I call it when we're talking to our customers, you know, it's almost like therapy for geeks. You know, I sit with a customer, and they tell me all their problems, and hey, I've solved these problems most of the time in the past, and I'm helping them. And, you know, surprise, surprise, the solution is SolarWinds observability platforms. You know, there's but that was always my solution. So I have no problem saying that with a customer. So for me, it was, you know, I've at any stage through my career, that there's been a SolarWinds tool there doing it. You know, I started out with the tool set when I was a field engineer, going out visiting customers, just, you know, these are small businesses. There's a switch buried somewhere, and I've got to try and figure out what's on a port. And that's how it started. Trying to figure out what was connected to a port with the port mapper from toolset. That was my tool. That was like, hey, this just helps me. I go blind into a customer site. Yeah, I go blind into a customer site, and I can figure out where something is. So from that troubleshooting right through to, you know, running knocks, you know, needing to know what's going on everywhere. And again, that's what I talk to customers about every day.
We have talked about a lot of really amazing emotional drivers for why THWACK has been such a benefit to the IT community. I know there's a lot of laughs and a lot of fun with the THWACK community, and I think you guys have a couple fun stories to share. I know D&D was mentioned and a few other things, so why don't you regale us with some silly stories from your THWACK days?
Well, Michael already mentioned what I jokingly refer to as the THWACK Camp, THWACK MVP Symposia of 2017. Which is when we invited the THWACK MVPs from around the world to join us for THWACK Camp. Again, THWACK Camp is a virtual event. A lot of it is pre-recorded just because we want to make sure the demos go clean and everyone is, you know, we can meet timings. Let's be serious. We don't want to ramble on for 2 hours. But there's a lot of live stuff interspersed with that. We brought all the MVPs in and basically had micro sessions with them. And, you know, Crystal was in the room, who's now Solarian. Michael was there. I was there. I was already a Solarian for a while. I was one of the product managers for the online demo at the time. And I think it was like my second or third THWACK camp actually like having content in. So like for some of the sessions, I could be in room with the MVPs. For the other ones, I had to like run down to the studio and do stuff. But we flew everyone in because of the time zone changes for many, many MVPs. Because I think only 60% of the MVPs, I'm guessing right now, are in the States, and the rest are abroad somewhere. So there was a significant time difference for a lot of people who were traveling in. We flew them all in early to make sure they could at least have one decent night's sleep. And I tried to come up with something fun to do because I was also relatively new to Austin, and I knew the MVPs for 3 or 4 years easy by then, but I didn't know everyone at SolarWinds, and I probably never will. It's a big company, but I knew these people. I had interacted with them more tightly in more of a fun way, and I was getting back into Dungeons & Dragons at the time, which, if we're all honest with ourselves, if you're into it, you never really get out of it, but I digress. And I said, well, why don't we run a campaign the night before, and we'll have some people bring up some board games, and we'll just steal one of the conference rooms and whatever. And my wife heard about this, and y'all can't see me pinching the bridge of my nose in remembering this. My wife heard about this little shtick and said, we need to make this memorable, and went out and bought all these decorations that we put out, and we like wrapped the door in, made it look like a castle gate. And we had like hats and buttons and dumb crap all over the place. And there are pictures of us playing D&D for it felt like hours. Like we literally got back to the office like 5 o'clock. As soon as the office is like beginning to shut down, we steal this conference room. We play till like 11, 12 o'clock at night. And there's like 14 of us around the table. Like half of them have never played before. I'm at one end, like trying to run the game. Leon Adato is still sitting there, Leon is still one of my best friends to this day, and he's wearing a chainmail yarmulke because it's D&D and therefore you must have chainmail. And chainmail yarmulke, I asked him at that point if that's the name of his rock band, and he started laughing. But we just had an absolutely great time. We just brought in snacks, and then after Thwack Camp actually ran, we went to a local restaurant, a place called Rocco's, which sadly has since shut down because Rocco and his wife retired. So that's a good thing. And I think they were supposed to close at like 8 or 9. But Rocco was there, and we were just joking with him. And my wife is Italian, Rocco, name like that, of course, Italian. And they started having this bickering contest about Italian things. But we had some of the most fun conversations and some of the funniest conversations. And then I think it was day two, Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, we made Kelly cry. So that sounds bad. It was good cry. So can you just try to explain?
Okay, you had me there for a second.
Wait.
Yeah. So, all the MVPs, at the time, we'd all had lots of sessions with the UX team. You know, that was, a big part of that community. So you'd go on a call with the UX team, and they'd be like, hey, here's this feature that's in the release candidate. What do you expect it to do? How do you, you know, what do you expect this to do next? You know, is this the right color? What
how does all this of these make questions you feel? So, yeah.
Yeah, those kind of things. So there was always these questions that UX team would ask. So unbeknownst to the staff at SolarWinds, Tom, one of the MVPs, said, hey, I'm going to get these T-shirts made up. So about halfway through day two, because we were going to go out for the evening with all of the UX team, they were all gathering in. And so we kind of timed it. So the UX team came in the room, and we all took our, you know, other top off, and we were all wearing these Thwack Camp 2017 UX team T-shirts, all of the MVPs, with all these bingo questions on the back of the T-shirt of all of these questions that we'd all been asked so many times. And the UX team just couldn't believe it. And you know, that was a special partnership. And yeah, just Kelly just
burst it's in. One of the ways that you become an MVP. And we probably haven't covered it very much, but to become a Thwack MVP, it's nothing about your customer size. It's nothing about your environment size. It's contributing to the community. It's what have you done on Thwack? It is less of a SolarWinds program and more of a Thwack program. What have you done? What good have you put out on Thwack? And two of the major things in your favor to become a Thwack MVP is participating in user experience, UX sessions, and also, you know, running, you know, the betas and the RCs and giving feedback early and quick and often. And it's just something that it helps the community as a whole, because you're helping us make the best experience possible for the other 200,000 people that are out there. And that's you sacrificing your time. And we recognize that by nominating people for THWACK MVP each year.
So I think for me, that's aligns with joining SolarWinds. I've joined the solution engineering team, and there's an onboarding program. And you know, one of the first things on the list is, hey, you've got to install this thing called NPM. And I said to my boss, what, for the 100th time? You know, maybe even more than that. You know, the amount of times going through testing every beta we could get our hands on. I've had a computer at home for years just to test this stuff, because I was passionate about it, because it was helping me day to day. So yeah, the personal time put in, but for me, you know, I'm sat here on the other side now. It's paid off, right? So that all those extra hours were worth it. But yeah, going back to that THWACK camp, you know, we did a lot of video content at the time, and SolarWinds had this role which was head geek. I mean, yeah, wow, you can go and just be a head geek and make videos and just do this really cool stuff. That was quite something. And there's this big organization in the US. And then, you know, cut to I'm sat playing D&D with that guy that I've watched the videos with, you know, watched on the, it was really, really surreal.
All right. Well, thank you both for being such amazing contributors to not only the THWACK community and SolarWinds, but this TechPod episode. We would love to wrap up with a few rapid fire questions. It's a fun little game that helps us add a little color to your personalities. So we will kick it off. I think we'll ask each of you a series here. And the first one is, Michael, would you rather travel to the past or the future?
The future. I want my Back to the Future flying car.
Perfect.
Probably the past, actually, because all of my hobbies, aside from motorcycling, are like traditional archery and woodworking and blacksmithing. So for me, probably the past.
If it were an option, Michael, would you live in a city in space?
No, I need to be able to go outside. I am an outdoors person. I've got to be able to go outside.
Okay, fantastic. And I know Kevin also needs to be outside given those hobbies, but would you live in a city in space?
I would live alone in space. Sometimes humans are the worst.
Okay. All right.
When Sean asked me, there was like a time, he was like, if it could be a vacation, I was like, oh yeah. If I have to subscribe the rest of my life to it, I don't know. But yeah, mm-hmm. Time limits help. All right, last one. Kevin, we'll let you start this one. What is your favorite tech invention?
Microboard computers, Raspberry Pis. Without a doubt, I have way too many of them, and I do the goofiest crap with them.
All right, Michael, let us know. What's your favorite tech invention?
Mine's software. It is Microsoft Word and spell checker. I would not have my career without it. As someone that can't write at all, Word and spell checker changed my life.
Michael and Kevin, thank you for joining us and sharing today.
Thank you so very much for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us on SolarWinds Tech Pod. I'm your host, Ashley Adams, joined by Sean Sebring. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe and follow for more Tech Pod content. Thanks for tuning in.